Well, a very good day to you. Welcome to A Good Word for Today from God's Holy Word. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel. And we're looking today at John chapter 17 as we continue to examine the life of Jesus Christ and as we continue to allow Him to witness on His own behalf as to who He really is. Yes, we're still examining the question, is Jesus Christ who He claimed to be? He claimed to be the only begotten Son of God the Father. He claimed to be from the Father. He claimed to be one with the Father. He claimed that everything He said was of the Father. He claimed to have eternal life in Him. He claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to God the Father. We've been examining for some time the evidence to support this. And we've been examining more recently the evidence given by Jesus Himself in the Gospel of John. And we're right up to the point in our study in John chapter 17 of the last hours of Jesus' life upon this earth in human body form. Just before He's arrested, just before Judas brings the soldiers and the guard from the temple to arrest Jesus, there on that Friday morning around 1 a.m. in the Garden of Gethsemane. What we're looking at in John chapter 17 quite probably takes place in the upper room. It may have been around midnight or just after midnight that this occurred. It had been a full evening, starting with the observance of the Passover meal, the institution of the Lord's Supper, the demonstration by Jesus of servanthood when He washed the disciples' feet, the teaching that occurs in John chapter 13 through chapter 16, the last words of Jesus to His apostles, telling them that He's the vine and they're the branches, we're the branches, and we're to abide in Him, telling them of the coming Holy Spirit, and He would not leave them comfortless. He told them, I'm going away from you. I won't see you for a time. It'll be a little while before you see me again. He told them over and over again that He came into the world for the purpose of going to the cross and paying sin's debt for all of mankind. So we're looking at the high priestly prayer of Jesus today, and we'll get into that in John chapter 17 right after this time in prayer. Would you join me? Father in heaven, thank you so much for your love and for your care, for keeping us safe, for providing for us, for protecting us, for the home that awaits us in heaven. And Father, more than anything else, thank you for salvation that is in Jesus. For you loved us so much that you provided a way, a door, through Jesus, for us to come to you. You made provision to reconcile us to you when we could do nothing that would get us to you. We couldn't reconcile ourselves to you. It was impossible for us to do that. So you did it. And we have only to accept it and receive it in order to be born into your kingdom, to become sons and daughters of yours. So thank you, Father, for your salvation plan. Thank you for your word that you've given to us. Holy Spirit, we ask you today to speak through me the words you want to have spoken for the glory of God our Father, to the exaltation of the name of Jesus, to the benefit of those of us who hear. Prepare our hearts now to receive your word. For your glory and for our good, we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, dear friend, turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 17. And this is our third message from John chapter 17. And we will begin today our study in in verse 15. But in order to bring some continuity to this, let me go back to the end of chapter 16, where Jesus says, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." That's his last direct comment to his disciples. Then in chapter 17, he begins this prayer. And let's read down through verse 15. "These things Jesus spoke, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, 'Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee. Even as thou gavest him authority over all mankind, that to all whom thou hast given him he may give eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I glorified thee on the earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now glorify thou me together with thyself, Father, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have come to know that everything thou hast given me is from thee. For the words which I gavest them, I have given to them. And they received them, and truly understood that I came forth from thee, and they believed that thou didst send me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all things that are mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And yet I am no more in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep them in thy name, the name which thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I was keeping them in thy name, which thou hast given me. And I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Now, that takes us down to verse 15. We see Jesus praying to have the glory returned that he had before he came to this earth. You remember, he laid aside his glory for a time and took upon himself a robe of flesh, come to dwell among us. So he's really getting ready for his glory to be returned to him. And he's speaking of, "Glorify me, Father, that I may glorify you. We are one. I've given your word to these men that you've given me. They're yours. You gave them to me. I've kept them faithfully. I ask you, Father, to keep them faithfully as I leave them." And Jesus is praying, you see, for himself, for the glorification of the Father through him, for the protection of his disciples and us as well. He said, "I pray not for these alone, but for all of those who will come after them." So we are in this great high priestly prayer that Jesus is praying. In fact, that's the first point here in verse 15. Listen to it. "I do not ask thee to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth." Now, Jesus is praying for us and praying for his disciples, and he said, all who will come after them. And he's praying for the Father to keep us from the influence of the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. What does that mean? It means simply that we'd have to live in this world. We're citizens of this world. We're born into this world as human beings. And we must live in this world. We have no choice of that. We are in this world. But we do not have to partake of what the world has to offer. We do not have to engage in the lewd behavior. We do not have to engage in the coarse talk and the vulgar talk. We do not have to engage in telling of dirty jokes. We do not have to engage in the behavior of the world, the sensual, lustful, sinful behavior of the world. We're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. Now Jesus says, "Sanctify them, Father, in truth. Thy word is truth." Remember when Jesus washed the disciples' feet hours earlier in that upper room? You know, he came to Peter, and Peter said, "Oh no, I'm not going to permit you to lower yourself to the lowest servant to wash my feet." And Jesus said to Peter, "Well, if you don't, you have no part in me." "Then wash all of me," Peter said. And Jesus responded, "You're clean, all except for your feet." Now, what he was talking about was that customarily, those who would come into a guest house as guest would have their feet washed, not anything else, because it was their feet that was dusty. Coming in contact with the earth and traveling the dusty paths, their feet and perhaps up a little bit on their legs would be dusty and dirty from the dust and dirt. So they would be washed, not the whole body, but just that part of the body. So Jesus was saying, you have only to be washed in this manner. You've already been washed. You're already clean, Peter. The words that I've spoken to you, they have washed you. They've washed your heart. They've washed you inside more so than out, you see. It's the inside of us that usually needs cleansing and washing rather than the outside, you see. For the words that defile us, Jesus said, come out of the heart. So we're to be clean. He said, sanctify them or cleanse them as I am clean. Jesus again said, I sanctify myself in order that I might sanctify them. See, we're clean as Jesus is clean. We're in him. He's the true vine. We're the branches. And we have his nature by virtue of the fact that we're branches within this true vine, Jesus Christ. Referring back to John chapter 15. Where Jesus said, I am the true vine, you are the branches, and if you're going to bear fruit, you must abide in me. Because the sustenance you need to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love and joy and peace and all the other nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, come from me, the true vine. Apart from me, he said, you can do nothing. On your own, you can do nothing. We can understand that when we look at a branch. We know that a branch that is cut away from the vine is simply going to die. It's cut away from its source of food, nourishment. Our nourishment comes from Jesus Christ. We need to stay in him, stay attached to him. How do we stay in him? We stay in him by the attitude of our heart. We stay in him through prayer, through meditation upon his word, through focusing our heart and our eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, as the Apostle Paul said. He also said that I count all other things of this world to be just like rubbish, garbage. The only thing that's of importance to me is to know him, to know Jesus. Not that I've already attained it, he said, but I press on. My goal is to know him more and more and more. My goal is to finally get to the point where I know him fully, and we will get to that point, not in this life, but we will be finished by God in his work upon us to conform us to the very image of Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 17, he says, sanctify them, Father, in truth. Thy word is truth. And thou didst send me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. And John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Truth sanctifies us. Jesus sanctifies us. Now listen to me. Listen closely. Truth is found in Jesus. Salvation is found in Jesus. The way to eternal life is in Jesus. Now I say that in that way to contrast what we often say. Truth comes from Jesus. The way of salvation is provided by Jesus. No, that's not quite right. And it's just far enough off to make us miss the point. Truth is found in Jesus. The way to eternal life is in Jesus. What did he say? Abide in me, that you may bear fruit. As a branch abides in the vine, abide in me. Stay connected to me. Stay in me. Truth is found in Jesus. Wisdom is found in Jesus. Corinthians and 1 Corinthians and Colossians both tell us that wisdom, all wisdom, is found in Jesus. The Scripture tells us that all things are placed in Christ, and all things come to us through Jesus Christ. He is our true vine, and we are the branch in Him, and we must stay in Him in order to receive our nourishment. All things come through Jesus Christ. They don't come from Him. They come through Him to us as long as we are connected to Him, as long as we are in Him. You see, we are made a new creation at our birth, our spiritual birth, a new creation in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. You see, we are in Jesus Christ. We're attached to Him. We are focused on Him. He is our life. Everything comes to us from Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. You notice I said from Jesus Christ. That's not correct. It's so easy for us to say that. It comes to us through Jesus Christ. And in order for us to receive it, we must be in Him. We must be attached to Him. We must stay in Him. We cannot be separated. It's not a matter of Him giving it to us, and He's over there and we're over here, separated from one another. We must be attached to one another. We must be the vine, or we must be the branch, rather, attached to the true vine, which is Jesus Christ. Now, he points out in verse 20, I do not ask in behalf of these alone, that is, these 11 disciples who are left, these 11 apostles. Remember, Judas is at this very point meeting with the guard and meeting with the Jewish officials and meeting with the religious leaders to bring them to Jesus to arrest him. So he says, I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but I ask on behalf of all those who will believe in me through their word. In other words, through their witness. Now let's remember that in this age that we call the church age, since the church was instituted, and I think you can put that at the point of time of the coming of the Holy Spirit, Pentecost Sunday. So when Jesus is saying this, the church age hasn't started yet. It's it's close to 50 days off. It is 50 days off, in fact, as we're looking at this, because this is the day of Jesus' crucifixion as he is praying this prayer in John chapter 17. So in the church age, we need to remember that God has told us in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, that I will work to demonstrate my power, my authority, my might, my purpose, through the church. Now that doesn't mean the church sitting on the local corner, although that's included, but that means the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, composed of all believers. You know, many believers in the Lord Jesus Christ will not be a member of a local church. That's just a fact. Now, the local church is a local man-made group. It's a man-made denomination. For the individual to be a member of the church of the body of Jesus Christ, we must be true believers in Him. We must be born again. We must have received Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. We must be in the vine, the true vine, Jesus Christ. He's the head of the body, and we're part of the body, you and I individually. Now, all believers are part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. All believers make up the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this does not say anything about a Baptist denomination or a Pentecostal denomination or a Catholic denomination or any of the others. That won't get you to heaven. Being a Baptist or a Pentecostal or Catholic or Presbyterian or anything else of a denominational order, what gets you to heaven is being in the vine. And we're in the vine, the true vine, Jesus Christ, by believing in Him, trusting in Him, being born into the family of God, being chosen by God, adopted by God, made joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and made a new creation in Christ Jesus. And that's so important. That's so critical. In Christ Jesus, not apart from Him, but in Christ Jesus. Now, Jesus' prayer, then, for us, He said, I pray not for these alone, but for all who will come after them. This prayer is for us. This prayer is for me. This prayer is for you. And He says that they may all be one in verse 21. That's His greatest desire, that they may be one. Now, the Bible points out that love is the perfect bond of unity. Unity is brought about by love. Love is God. God is so much love that John, in the letter of 1 John, simply referred to Him as love. God is love. God, then, is the bond of unity. We are one in Christ Jesus. We have our unity in Christ Jesus, in God our Father. So Jesus was praying that they may be one, even as Thou, Father, art in me and I in Thee. In other words, as we are one, that they may also be in us, that the world may believe that Thou didst send me. Now, let me pause there just a moment. Jesus is saying that they may also be in us. Who's us? Jesus and the Father. Back in John chapter 14, verse 23, I believe it is. Let me be sure of that. I'll turn here just a moment. John 14, 23. And Jesus answered and said to him, the answer is Judas, one of the disciples. It's not Judas Iscariot, the other Judas. Asking, in verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot, said to the Lord, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will love him who sent me. He will love my Father and keep his word. And we will come to him. We. Who's the we? Jesus is saying, I and the Father and me, will come to him and make our abode with him. Now, that term abode here is oikos, O-I-K-O-S. It means a permanent dwelling place, not a temporary one, but a specific permanent dwelling place. So he's saying, the Father and I will come to you and make our permanent abode within you. Now, here in John chapter 17, in verse 21, he's praying that they may be in us. Listen again. My prayer is that they, that is my apostles, all disciples who follow after them, may all be one, even as Thou, Father, art in me and I in Thee, that they also may be in us. So his desire is that we be in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, us. He said in John chapter 14, verse 23, the Father and I will come to you and make our permanent dwelling place in you. What does that mean? That means as a disciple, as a child of God, as a follower of Jesus, as a branch attached to the vine, which is Jesus Christ, we are in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in us. We are one. Now, we don't usually think in terms of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all being in us, the full Godhead being in us. But that's what the Word says. That's what Jesus has stated. The Father and I will come to you and make our permanent dwelling place in you. And here his prayer to the Father is that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me, Father. Verse 22, and the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. Again, here's the central desire of Jesus, that they may be one, that they may be in us, as I am in you, Father, and you are in me, and we are in one another, that we may be in them, and they may be in us, and they may be one, even as we are one. A unity here. A unity brought about by the perfect bond of unity, love. In verse 23, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that thou didst send me, and thou didst love them, even as thou didst love me. Father, I desire that they also whom thou hast given me, these disciples, be with me where I am, in order that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou didst love me before the foundation of the world. Jesus says, I desire that they come to heaven to be with me. Now, back in John chapter 14, the beginning of the chapter, Jesus says, I go away to prepare a place for you. And as surely as I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, Jesus speaks of the love from the foundation of the world, the glory from the foundation of the world that he had with the Father in heaven. Verse 25, O righteous Father, although the world has not known thee, yet I have known thee, and thou hast known that thou didst send me, and these have known that thou didst send me, and I have made known thy word unto them, and will make it known, that the love wherewith thou didst love me may be in them, and I in them. Again, unity of the body, unity of the disciple with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, unity of the disciple with the rest of the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus, picture it as Paul gave the illustration in 1 Corinthians. He gave the illustration of the human body, and he said, some of you are like the finger, and some of you are like the thumb, and some of you are like the eye, and some of you are like the ear. You have different gifts and different purposes, different functions, but you're all part of the body. You're all part of the body of which Christ is the head. There is unity in the body of Christ, and that unity is brought about by God, who is love. So this is the prayer of Jesus, that we may be one as he and the Father are one, that we may be one in him, that we may be unified in love, in God who is love. This great high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ that he prayed before entering into the Garden of Gethsemane. I believe when this prayer was finished, they had the song in the upper room. They went out of that upper room, went through the streets of Jerusalem, out of the city, into the Garden of Gethsemane on the side of the Mount of Olives, and Jesus went there to pray, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless thy will be done. Here Jesus is coming to the culmination of his purpose in coming to the earth, to go to the cross, to pay sin's debt for you and me, in order that we may be one in him and one in the Father. Oh, our prayer today for you, dear friend, is that you are one in Christ Jesus, that you are a branch attached to the vine, the true vine, which is Jesus. Jesus is our Savior. He is the only way to heaven. There is no other way. Our prayer is that you know him. This good news of God our Father through Jesus Christ our Savior. And this is a good word for today from God's holy word. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel.